Hey, welcome to another episode of the New York Comedy Club podcast. I am your host, Nick Angelo, joined today again by with the boss, Emilio Savone. Emilio, how are you?
Hello, Nicholas. I'm good.
Good. Good to hear. As always, brought to you by the Paper House Network. Check out these cool shows you can find on Paper House Network.
He's Steve Lippman.
And she's Candy Claire.
And together we
figure it out. Join us as we take on life's unanswered
or overly answered questions.
Our guests include comedians, healers, environmentalists, bake-off contestants,
and some nonsense from our beloved intern, Dine.
You can send us questions and hear them answered live on the podcast.
A new episode every other Wednesday on Paper House Network.
All right, that's fantastic. I never know how to come back from the break, but anyway, we're joined here today by what I think is the funniest man in quarantine, Mark Norman. Mark, how are you, buddy?
Wow, hey, that's a new one. I'll take it. Good. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're doing okay. We were just kind of chit-chatting a little bit about, you know, how we're counting down the days, and yet we're kind of frustrated by that because, as you so eloquently put it, we only have so many summers of our lives, and we may lose one here.
Oh, yeah, I know, and it's just slipping away, and I feel like my career was finally gaining some jizz, and now it's all rolled down the hill again.
No, I think you'll be okay. You got something coming out next Tuesday, right?
The 12th
of May, right?
You better believe it, baby. I got a hot special coming out on YouTube because no one else would buy it. And literally anybody can put something on YouTube. So, hey, I'm a man of the people.
Now, Mark, I have a question, bud. I mean, is that accurate, though? Are you doing YouTube? Because YouTube now I feel like it's like a real alternative now. Like,
yeah.
I feel like some comics are just jumping straight to YouTube versus even bothering to deal with the BS you got to deal with some of these networks. Is that accurate, or are you just kind of being humble and saying no? Because you had a special on Comedy Central. It was produced by or presented by Amy Schumer. I would imagine you wouldn't have a tough time getting it on one of those networks.
I appreciate it, and that's flattering. But, yeah, I've tried. I shot the whole thing myself even. I said, what if I shoot it? And I'll take little money. And they said, we don't care. We don't want it. We either want, like, to check a box. And this is their – I'm going to sound like a cunt here, but I'm just saying what they told me. They either want to check a box, you know, like, hey, we need this kind of diversity or whatever, or you got to sell a ton of tickets. And I'm like, well, I pretty much sell out at clubs. And like, yeah, we need theater people. And I'm like, well, I could be a theater person. And they're like, yeah, but you're not one now. And I'm like, okay, so if I become one, then what? Then they're like, then we'll talk. And I'm like, all right. But I feel like, no offense to these big networks, but they're starting to become like out of touch with like the fun, young, hungry, killer road dogs. You know, like, they're putting – sure, they got their Seinfelds and they got their Ellens and they got their big names. But, like, hey, these young guys are coming up and they're the cool ones. They're, you know, like, what do you want to see on MTV? You want to see Michael Bolton, or you want to see Rage Against the Machine? You know, like, let's get – you're supposed to have some your finger on the pulse a little more. Does that make sense?
No, that makes a ton of sense. They don't. They just want to minimize their risk. You know, they don't want to take it.
Exactly.
So I mean, yeah. It's the same thing in Hollywood. I mean, it's the same thing in the music business, as you kind of referred to. Like, they want to minimize the risk. They're not going to put in all this money into a quasi unknown. As I always say, you know, these comics who do they pass the mom test? Like, yeah, sure. if you're in the comedy world, you know who Mark Norman is, but, like, does my mom know who that is? And it's like, if not, they're not going to put the money into it. And that's unfortunate.
It is, and I think you're completely right. But also, do you want to be the mom network? I mean, you might as well go work for OWN, go work for Oprah, you know? Like, what are we doing here? This is cutting-edge shit. But you're waiting till the edge is dull before you put it up. It seems very backwards to me. But, you know, it's business, I guess, but I know a lot of these people booking the fucking thing, and I'm like, don't you get it? And they're just like, hey, we're just following the rules. This is what we're told. So I think YouTube's the way to go. Like, fuck it. I'm going to do the whole thing myself.
Well, good. I'm glad. I'm actually looking forward to it. Mark, I've been a fan of yours for a while now.
Hey, thanks. You're the one.
Film this.
Sorry, what?
When did you film the special?
Oh, thank Allah. I filmed this puppy in January on a whim. I've been running this hour for like 3 years, and it felt like it was time to put it to bed because I was starting to go to different cities, and they'd be like, yeah, we've seen a lot of this. And I'm like, ah, you're right. I got to film this thing. So I filmed it, and I sold out a little theater in L.A., and we were like, well, it's sold out. It's a nice theater. Fuck it. Let's film here. And we shot two shows at the Dynasty Typewriter in L.A., and it's where Sandler shot his special. And it's a really cute venue, and I'm glad we got in the can. And now it's coming out during a pandemic.
Yeah, we know the Dynasty guys, Jamie and them, really well. So, yeah, they do good stuff over there. And you know, we talked to them pretty early on when they were opening it up. So that's cool. Yeah, that's a good spot for sure.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, it looks good. It's I got some real professional queefs doing all the nerdy tech stuff, and they did a killer job. And
you know, that seems a new era. And that seems to be the craze too. I mean, I know Dynasty Typewriter, I guess they position themselves as like a theater, but it's really, I mean, it's 100-seat little black box, right? So that seems to be kind of the angle right now. You know, I know our buddy Sam just did it at a club, and you know, obviously Costa just did his Comedy Central special where he did it at the Improv in our spot, but he also did it at a theater in Michigan. So, but it seems like the comedy club or the smaller theaters seem to be where it's all at, and I think that has made the specials a lot better to watch, because you can kind of feel the intimacy and the connection between the comic and the audience.
Right. So, yeah, and it's just so cheesy. Like, your mom test thing is so good, because like Jeff Garlin had a special, and look, I know the guy's on Curb and he's a funny guy, but he's not a stand-up, and it's just kind of like, what are we doing here? Don't we want real stand-ups? Like, do we want people to turn on Netflix and go, all right, this is a big production shoot, but this is brutal? Or would you want to go, I've never heard of this guy, let me try him out, and hey, this Sam Real guy's hilarious.
Do you think that maybe that's the reason why people are so uptight now when they go to comedy clubs, is because they don't actually know what stand-up comedy is? Like, no offense to Jeff Garlin, but like when they watch his special, then they go to the New York Comedy Club and, you know, see someone's act, and they're like, what is this garbage? And it's like, well, that's what stand-up comedy is, fortunately.
Maybe, but I think those people are just retarded. Those people, they're just not real comedy people. They're just like, oh, a celebrity. Let's go see Pauly Shore. Let's go see Chris Kattan or one of these people who aren't like real working comics. Those are just like, oh, we got to go see Steve-O. Like, why? No, it's going to suck.
They're show ponies.
Yeah, show ponies. Exactly. That's a good way to put it. Everybody's a star fucker now, which I get. I like seeing a celebrity too, but I also want to have a giggle if I'm paying a ticket price.
Well, it's really interesting too, Mark, that you say that, because, you know, we've been doing a lot of theater stuff over the last, I'd say about a year and a half, we got into a lot of theater stuff, and we were rolling out like a bunch of tours with a bunch of comics. And it's funny, it took a very long time for us to book this one theater, because every comic I was offering to them, they were like, well, we don't really know that comic. And I'm like, look, you have to trust me here. I'm like, you can go out there, and to your point, I'm like, we can go out there and get a guy like, I don't know, like a Jim Brewer, who I love. I love Brewer.
Sure, you
know, I love
Brewer. He's killer.
He doesn't love Brewer. He's killer. I mean, Brewer's a bad example, because I think he still has chops. But like, you know, they find someone with that kind, like you said, like a Steve-O, right? And I'm like, point. I'm like, there's an opportunity for you as a theater to get in with some of these comics that are really starting to catch. And you don't understand, these comedians have podcasts, they have followings that you might not even be aware of, but they're in the clubs every night. And there's a way, like, they'll promote it much harder than probably any of these other guys, because they're so hungry. Like, to your
point,
you just said. And it's funny, we were able, you know, finally, like, I got the confidence of them to say, look, this is how it, just trust me, just fucking trust me. And
trust me, I know more than you. I do this for a living, you know?
And boom, sold out. Then we did another one. Boom, sold out. So it just takes kind of like that, you know, it just kind of takes that confidence, I guess. But on your end, it's hard to kind of do that if they're not going to even give you that shot. So I think you're going to just feel, I mean, look, dude, you know, you're a comic, so you are an entrepreneur. I mean, you really are. I mean, all comics are. They've decided a long time ago, I'm going to make my own way, go into business for myself. I'm my own business at this point, even though maybe not a lot of comics look at it that way. But what you're doing by putting on YouTube is going to really just make you feel so liberated, you know, because you're going to get a lot of views. It's going to do really well. I mean, based on what I've seen from other comics that are at your level have been doing, I think this is going to give you kind of a sense of feeling bulletproof, because, and I think after this whole experience, I mean, you won't have to feel beholden to any network. I mean, I think ultimately, sure, having the backing of a network is always great.
Sure.
It's a big resource, right? Because they'll throw money at it. But I mean, and again, not to dismiss Comedy Central, but Comedy Central, you do a special with them, they air it at midnight on a Friday night, no one's going to see it again, you know,
completely,
for the most part. So
I did that too.
So YouTube's interesting. I mean, YouTube is YouTube, are they, I mean, YouTube is something I'm not, I mean, we used it. It's something that I think we're, you know, I don't know much about, but are they starting to do more spotlight stuff on like stand-up specials? Like, is there like a specific channel for like, hey, comedy specials? Like, Nick, do you know if they've done anything like that yet?
I don't think so. I think they're still, I mean, they might, once again, I'm, you know, YouTube is kind of, I use it for what we use it for, and that's about it. And also to watch weird ASMR videos. Yeah. But I don't know. I don't know if they've kind of separated themselves.
They're pretty great because they kind of just go, you want to be on here? Great. We'd love to have you. Go nuts. And they'll help you promote, and they'll help you put it up and do all this stuff and give you tips on what helps you get more views and recommendations.
Oh,
but
great.
They stay out of the way. So it's actually kind of ideal because they're like, hey, look, we're not paying you unless you make a zillion views, but you're not going to really get paid. So this is all your project. Go nuts. And it's very, as you said, liberating. It's nice.
Yeah.
And that's different from YouTube TV, correct? Like YouTube TV is kind of like the channel that they've launched.
Uh-huh. Then there's YouTube Red, which is actually like a network.
Yeah. Well, that's something different. I don't know what that is. I mean, I know what it is, but I mean, I don't subscribe to that. So I don't know what kind of programming they have on that, but I can't imagine. I mean, I'm sure comedy is going to be, you know, not far behind. And when, you know, someone like you of your caliber and like, I mean, I'm sure it is a good special, you know, when you release it and the Sam Morril releases a YouTube special and the Mike Cannon releases a YouTube special, you know, they're going to notice and they're going to do something about that. And I wouldn't be surprised after your special comes out on Tuesday, May 12th.
Yeah.
People are going to be like, yo, I think YouTube is going to start getting into the comedy game and hopefully do it the way that we were talking about earlier, not be the mom network and just be like, oh, these are good comedians.
Right. Right. Yeah. I mean, you want to be NWA, you want to be like these, I don't know, where the fuck did these guys come from? These guys do what they want. This isn't fucking Queen Latifah. This is the real deal. Like, that's, you know, it's punk rock. That's kind of how we feel now. And like, okay, you want to book Jenny Slate? Go nuts. She's done stand-up 8 times. Yeah, she was on SNL, but yeah, book her, and then you'll get Sam Morril on YouTube.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, it's interesting too, Mark, because, you know, with everything that's going on right now, you know, it's kind of like those powers that be, I feel like are scrambling more than ever.
Yes.
Because, you know, you really have to, you know, because now it's like, all right, well, what ownership do you have over, I mean, these networks and everything, they need content more than ever right now because all the production stuff has stopped. So in some strange way, you know, I've been saying this throughout the whole thing. I really do think that when times like this happen, as awful as it is, there's going to be some positive that come out of it. And I do think that some positives that might come out of this is that comedians will be able to have even more ownership over their stuff because it's almost like, again, the powers that be, like, they're just kind of paralyzed right now. And even when we come back, you know, like, I feel it. Like, right now, you know, we're getting where it might have been tough to get through to some agents for some of our outside rooms that we deal with, and some of the theaters we deal with. Now they're very eager to want to talk because they're like, I need to get something for my clients. Whereas before, you know, I think it was coming in so quick and fast and furious. So it's interesting what's happening right now. So, you know, the special that your special might be coming out at actually the perfect time for you, if you really think about it.
Yeah, no, we're definitely using that to our advantage. It's definitely a weird time. The whole bedrock of everything is shaking. I think it's all kind of changing. Look at Louis, you know, Louis, he's made, I don't want to speak out of school, he's made millions on top of millions already on that new special of his.
Yeah.
Which came out on his website for what, $7 or $8, whatever it was.
Yeah.
And it's great. It's so good. And I think that's the future. The future is Hulu. What the hell's that? I have the Norman channel or the Emilio TV or whatever it is. It's going to be your own network. Why would I? Oh, I got to go pitch this show to what's that thing called? Amazon? I got to pitch a show to Amazon. Why? I'll just make it. I'll have my own network. I think that's the future.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point, and not to be corny myself, but I think the future is now. Like, I think this is going to really ramp that up. I was thinking about your special coming out, and I was getting really excited because it's like, you know, the it's a live show in front of a live audience, and you know, I haven't seen that in like 2 months. And I was comparing it to, I was trying to explain to someone, like, it's like the NFL draft. Like, or it's just a guy talking into a microphone, but it means something, and it's actually worth something. And I was looking forward to both of those things. So, I think you're absolutely right that this is people are just going to start doing it on their own. I mean, we have the technology.
Yeah. Also, real quick, the a lot of these networks, you know, since the more businessy you get, the more numbersy you get, the more people you have to answer to. Like, I know Netflix, you can't really say retard anymore. Which is insane for comedy. It's like, hey, we're doing comedy here. You're going to tell me what I can't say? That's the whole point of comedy is piss, shit, motherfucker, and cunt. Like, that's what comedy's all about. And you can't say retard, but on YouTube, you can say whatever. So when it's your show, your channel, you got no one to answer to, which is a nice plus.
Yeah. Wow, I'm surprised they're implementing that stuff. That's strange.
They told Adrian Ipolucci she had to cut a joke on the degenerates. The whole show was about being a degenerate, and the joke was too dark.
Wow.
Like, that's where we're at.
Yeah, that's what you – and you know what? That's just how it works, you know? And, you know, YouTube might come on and start putting out all these comedy shows and where it's the wild, wild west. But, you know, when they start making enough money, when they start actually getting the money from the moms out there, they're going to have to, you know, well, I guess you can't say that joke anymore because we care about the money. And then a whole new network comes up and be like, well, we're here for the art. So it's just, I think it's just a vicious cycle that happens.
But as long as
guys like you are out there putting out their shows, you know, I think for the art's sake, you know, we're in a good place.
Hey, here. Well said. And I hope you're right. And boy, we've really been hilarious on this thing so far, huh?
I like to, this is a behind the scenes podcast of the comedy world. It's not, it's not all about the yuck yucks. So, but moving on to some funnier things. We were talking right before we started this about your what's the endorsement that you got from the legend himself, Jerry Seinfeld. And I asked you, I'm like, are you sick to death of that? I mean, I don't want to bring it up if you don't want to talk about it.
No. It's one of the highlights of my life, sadly. But again, how funny is that, by the way? I can't get a special. I'm knocking on every door. And then Seinfeld, the biggest comic on the planet, is like, I like this guy. I'm picking this guy as my guy I like out of every single comic. And that still doesn't help. What are we doing?
Yeah.
Do I have to go in the room with him and go, hey, this guy, you know this guy you like and give millions and millions to? He likes me. Come on, you cunts. What are we doing? God, is it? I'm no businessman, but isn't that pretty A to B? Blow me. I'm confused. But, yeah, sorry. I went off on a tangent. But,
that's where you got to reach out to Seinfeld and say, look, Jerry, this is what I need from you. Okay. Put your money where your mouth is. All right.
I know,
he's got two Netflix specials. I want you to call Netflix. You think I'm the next big shit? Call Netflix. Get me that special. You know?
Yeah. Cut him in. About that.
Yeah.
But A, I can't ask anybody. I got my self-esteem is too low. I'm gay. But also, my special is like school shooting jokes. It's trans jokes. It's gay jokes. It's black jokes. So I don't know if he can attach himself to that brand wise.
Sounds like just what the world needs to me, buddy.
Hey man, I would love it. I was hoping he would offer, but I don't want to put anybody through that.
Maybe that's why Seinfeld likes you so much. You say everything he wants to say, but now he can't.
Yeah, but I you might be right, but if I ask him for shit, he'll like me less.
Yeah.
Well, you know what you should do then? You should do like a little bonus at the end of just COVID jokes. Just really just hammer it all in, you know? Like
I got a million.
Hey, with you walking around with the mask on like you are right now, just like a little extra 5-minute bonus features of Mark just roasting COVID-19.
Yeah, I've got a bunch of COVID jokes. I thought about doing like a 20-minute COVID special.
That's not a bad idea. I mean, Ted's was great. I mean, his what he did with his Instagram.
Oh, that's right. How long was that?
Dude, it was like, I think it was like 45 minutes to an hour.
Wow.
I saw 25 minutes of it. And it was awesome. I mean, he got a nice write up on the Times.
Nice.
Got some good publicity out of it. But yeah, so what is your opinion of all this stuff though? Like all these like, you know, Zoom show, like we've really dug in on them. We've gotten a good response from them. But like overall, like, are you one of these guys who's like, you know, just a purist heart and heart, like, you know, I'm just going to wait until the stages come back? Or are you like, you know what, fuck it, I'll take a stab at some of these things and try them
out? No, I'm taking stabs all day long. I did a Zoom show last night. I'm doing a coast-to-coast roast all weekend for the next 3 weeks. I'm like diving in because I'm so scared of being rusty and I'm so scared of getting lazy. I'm starting to turn into like a house cat. You know, I used to be a bobcat out in the wild, going nuts, doing sets, getting on a flight. I was in hell rooms, theaters, whatever. And now I'm like a house cat. I'm licking my paws. Somebody brings me tuna every day. I don't know if I can go back out there. So that terrifies me. So I'm still trying to say yes to everything and try new shit and do Zoom shows, even though I hate them. So I'm trying to stay relevant. I did that Corona comedy video. Just that was something.
Do you, I mean, do you hate them though? Or do you, cause like we did, so like, you know, Berg, for example, we hit up Aaron to do one for one of the Zooms that we were doing. And, you know, he did it, but he was like, look, I've never done them before. I was like, look, it's a trial. We'll see. I have no idea what to expect either. Afterwards, he, you know, it's funny. People have actually, he was like, look, that was actually a lot of fun. Whenever you want me to do it, I'll do it. That was, you know, cause he was doing his like crowd work. It was strange. He was actually doing crowd work and riffing and cause he could see everybody. I mean, is there any element of it when you're done where you're like, yeah, it was kind of fun, or are you just like...
Oh, completely. I did the Cellar one 2 days ago. It was bad. I bombed, and it's awkward and weird, and obviously there's no energy and intimacy and connection, but I felt so good after because it'd been so long. It was like I finally got a bump of coke, and I've been jonesing for 40 days. It was great. I was skipping down the street.
There you go.
Yeah, so I'll do it. If you got any, sign me up, baby. I'm in.
There it is.
Nice. There it is. Well, there's one thing I know about Mark, man. He is a gym rat. He will literally, it's like, hey, Mark, you want to do a gig at this cafe that in the Bronx? He's like, sure. I'll fit
in
my other 12 spots.
Yeah. I mean, why do you think I bought the moped? I'm all over town. I can get everywhere.
You have a moped?
Oh, I got a hell of a scooter. Look at my Instagram. Scroll down a bit. It's a beauty.
Yeah, you're just scooting around. I've seen some of your stuff on Instagram. You like taking pictures of the empty streets of New York City, which is very beautiful and eerie at the same time.
So eerie. I think people have a bad thought about New York right now. They're like, what are you kidding? That's the epicenter. That's ground zero for disease, and everybody's going to kill you, and you go outside, you get stabbed. I go out every day. The old ladies are the only scary thing. They're yelling at me. They're calling me a fucking asshole and telling me that I need to go inside. But no, morale is high. Like everybody in my neighborhood's out on their stoop drinking, playing a guitar. It's nice. The village is alive and well.
So then what's your thought here? What's your thought when let's say, because I think we're not going to be allowed, comedy clubs won't be allowed to go back until minimum June 30th. That's what I think
that's pretty optimistic.
Oh, wow. Okay. So let's minimum though. I said, or minimum, I mean like the earliest would be June 30th, right? Okay. But fine. Let's say whenever it is, right?
Yeah.
Are you diving in head first? Are you like, baby, I'm back. Let's go. Or are you going to be like, obviously I think everyone will be curious to know what clubs are taken to precautionary wise, or do you not even just care? You're like, fuck it. Clubs are open. I'm in.
Head first, all the way. I mean, I'm considering flying to LA in a few weeks or a few days to go do like a special promotion thing. Like I'll do Rogan again and Fighter and the Kid and Bobby Lee and Kreischer, all that shit. Because I don't give a shit. I don't care about my body. I'm out right now. My mask is down. I'm riding my bike everywhere. I'm not trying to. I'm I'm not trying to spread the disease, but I don't think I'm not coming in contact with people, but I'm still getting out there. I'll risk my own body for some work.
Yeah, I think, you know, not to go on, you know, in the scientific mode, because I'm no scientist or doctor, but I kind of think New York is in a better position than most places, because I think a lot of us have an immunity. I think there's so many people got it so quickly, and I think a lot of us have been in pretty much everyone has been in contact with it. We've been exposed to it, so now probably most of us have an immunity. I could be completely wrong, could be completely ignorant, and I'm not suggesting that we just go out and infiltrate the rest of the country, but I think we're in a better position than most at this stage of the game. Because if you look at the numbers of these other cities and states that are opening up, their numbers are going through the roof because they haven't been exposed to it yet.
Totally. And I got to tell you, I know I sound like a douche, but I think I had it in February and didn't know what it was, and I just wrote it out for like 5 days, and I think I'm good now.
I kind of agree with you. I get sick maybe once a year.
Same.
And I came into the office, and this was like before there was a confirmed case in America. And I'm like, I don't feel well. I'm sick. Like, I'm going to be out. And, you know, everyone makes fun of me. Like, oh, you're patient zero. I'm like, no, I'm just, but maybe that was it. Who knows? I have no idea, but
I
I felt great ever since.
I did a string of gigs in mid-February, and I mean, like, fly to Toronto, fly home, fly to Connecticut, or fly to L.A., fly back, like, go to Denver. I did this string of gigs. I never even took a day off, never rested, never was back in the city in my own bed, and I shook everybody's hand after. I sold a bunch of merch. I touched a bunch of different microphones. I was doing two shows a night. I was miserable. I was drinking. I was on drugs. I was tired. Slept with a few ladies, and I came back to New York and just collapsed, and I think I had corona, and I was out for like 5 days, and I didn't know what it was. I went to the doctor, and they said, it sounds like a bug. I don't know what this is, but just ride it out, and I think that was corona.
Well, so now you're immune. Now you're ready to go.
Yeah, and I think in a weird way, it helped to not know what it was, you know, because if I had known it was corona, you're like, what is this fanciful new unknown scary disease, this virus I've never heard of? I would have freaked out more, but I didn't know what it was, and I was just like, I'm sick.
Now when you're sick, you're like, yeah, you're sick, whatever. But now it's like, oh, you could have this new
yeah leg.
It's like now like my leg will cramp up. I'm like, oh my god, I have corona. It's like, no, you just,
yeah, exactly,
more water. Like,
I know, I blame not getting it up on corona last night. It was bad.
Yeah, everything is corona's fault. I'm blaming Sean Corona from like 2016. I'm like, I think that could have been because of the coronavirus.
Right. Yeah. 9/11 might have been because of corona.
It could have. Maybe the terrorists were trying to, you know, save us.
Yeah.
I paused on wanting to say that, but look, I was here during 9/11, so I'm allowed to say whatever I want about it. Okay.
There you go.
That's sound. Mark, you had a video out that I came across the other day. Can you explain it to me? It's a I don't know if this was a real life thing or just like a sketch you did, but it was futuristic Mark Normans come back in time to help you realize your life.
Yes,
can you tell me a little bit about that? Because I was on the ground laughing.
Oh, thanks. Well, as you know, I've pitched like at least 14 shows in my career just trying to get something made. And this one guy took a liking to me. He worked for True TV, and then he got fired. So he said, fuck it. I think you could be a star or something. So let's shoot a sizzle of this show idea I have. And basically the show is called Mark Norman Needs Help, and I'm not good at anything. So I would try to like change my oil or invest in some stocks or some, you know, little thing that people would do. And a me from another universe, a parallel universe, kind of like Spider-Man, that movie, that cartoon, would come back and he'd be like a stockbroker, Norman. And he would just show me how to do it. And it would be like an informative show. And the pitch or the sizzle we made was pretty cool. And it was well done. And we never sold it, so I said, fuck it, let's put it on YouTube. And that was that.
How many, so are they done like almost like in little episodes?
Well, we never shot an episode. We just shot the sizzle, but each half hour show would be me trying to learn some task, like so how to buy a house, how to buy a car, you know, how to fix the toilet.
So the sizzle is basically 30 minutes. So if you let's say a network picked it up, you'd be looking at it to be a 30-minute show or 22 minutes or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. For like Travel Channel or, you know, Discovery or something like that.
You know, it's a really interesting platform that I've had my eyes on for a little bit, and we've done a bunch of stuff at the club in terms of like production stuff for them, like rent out the space to film. That I think is going to be a really great platform is Quibi.
Oh, yeah. What do you think?
Listen, man, you know, the amount of money that they've invested in that, I'm going on the basis that since this past summer, we've probably had 5 to 7 production shoots that were for Quibi.
Yeah.
And the amount of advertising they're doing for it and the amount of promotion they're doing for it. I mean, I see commercials, I see billboards, and I have the app. And I'll tell you, man, the content on it is really great. And the concept behind it is, you know, Quibi stands for quick bite. So they're supposed to be five to seven minute episodes.
Right.
So most series are like 8 episodes, 5 to 7 minutes. So, you know, and I think they're pretty – it seems like they're pretty open-minded with the content they have. I mean, when you get a second, I would urge you just to download the app, do like a free month trial, and see some of the stuff that they have on it, because, I mean, that could be an interesting place to go to for pitching shows and all that jazz. You know how it is, with these new platforms, like you said, like the whole Netflix thing. Right, Netflix years ago, do you think they would have told you not to be able to say the word retard?
No, it's all changed. That's what I'm saying.
So I think it's always good to try to get in on something from the ground up, because those places, there's no rules for the most part. So anyway, something for you to check out.
You're right. And I think that's the future. I mean, look at TikTok. Everything's 8 seconds or whatever. And people just stay on there all day, just swiping and swiping and looking at dances and shit. So I think you're right. I think the shorter, the better now.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's gonna find out if it passes the not the mom test, but the retard test. Can I say retarded on this platform? So I'm in.
Hey Mark, what's the name of your special, by the way?
It's called Out to Lunch.
Out to Lunch. Okay.
Yeah, because that's my whole person. I say horrible things, and I'm like, oh, I don't get it. I'm out to lunch. I'm clueless. you gotta pretend to be dumb.
It's a good phrase that no one uses anymore. Oh, he's out to lunch.
And right. You know, I'm sure most of our listeners know this, but you know, you have an awesome podcast, Tuesdays with Stories with Mr. Joe List.
Thanks.
How's that been going? You know, how's that been going since? Are you seeing your listenership go up? Is it going down? I ask this because you know I know we have a lot of people that have, like, I've heard some of the podcast listening has actually gone down since quarantine, which is
really?
You would have thought it would have went up. But yeah, I'm curious how it's been for your experience. Are you finding that your fans are even more into it now because they have nothing to do? Are you able to engage them more? I mean, how's that been?
Ours went way up, and we have a Patreon for like the super fans to buy into, and that went way up. So we've been really using the podcast as like our full-time job. We used to be stand-up comics who had a podcast. Now we're employed podcasters 100%. Because that's getting a lot of income and getting a lot more traffic. So we're all pod-centric now. And I think the reason that things are going down, listenership for a lot of people, is I've noticed a lot of people are half-assing. They got the Zoom on. It's not the same as being in the room. So it's kind of like it's a disconnect. It's not what it used to be. Mm-hmm. And I think listenership is falling off. Two, I think, you know that phrase, if you want something done, give it to a busy guy? Nobody's busy anymore, so we're not doing shit. Yeah. We're not doing the first thing. You know, now you get up, you have your breakfast, you watch 6 hours of TV, you watch 4 movies, you play online, and then you go to bed. Before, you used to like, okay, I got to commute to work. I'll listen to my podcast. I hate my job in my cubicle. I'll listen to my podcast. Mm-hmm. That's all gone now. So it's hard to start doing something if you have nothing to do, ironically.
Well, it's funny.
Routines have changed.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, I think that was initially. I mean, this was early on when I think maybe now people are back into it more than ever, maybe. But I know people are so fixated on the news that the news has kind of taken up everyone's brain space is just watching all this stuff. And I think finally, maybe about, you know, a few weeks ago, I think people have been fed up and like, you know what, I'm going to stop watching so much freaking, like, I know personally, I don't even really watch it anymore, with the exception of like once, like maybe once a few, every few days, just to stay in touch. But yeah, dude, the news is a real freaking downer. So,
oh yeah.
So, you know, but anyway, but I'm glad to hear the podcast is still going well. And I saw Joe shaved his head.
Yeah. So that's, yeah,
that's exciting.
It's getting wild out there, shaving their heads. I've been cooking. I've never thought I'd cook in my life. They said phones are way down too. And like TV and Netflix and all that is way up, but phones are down.
Really? Phones are down. Like people aren't calling each other?
Well, like phone use, like Twitter and Instagram and all that has gone down on the phone and more up on like the laptop or desktop.
Yeah. Totally. Because people are at home. They're at their desktop, literally. So they don't need to be on the subway checking Twitter, you know.
Exactly.
That's interesting, though. Yeah, it's funny how the quarantine, when this first happened, like the first week, felt like everyone was at summer camp. And they're like, oh, we're going to take a dance lesson, and I'm going to learn how to paint, and I'm going to do this. Oh, we're going to stretch. And then everything is on Zoom, and now like we're 8 weeks in. It's like, if I have to look at another screen with eight faces on it like the Brady Bunch, I'm going to lose my mind.
I know. And isn't it weird how the news has taken over the void that sports left? The news is just like a bunch of players, usually left versus right, red versus blue.
I know.
And they're just attacking each other and trying to get one up in and all that. And we're sitting at home with the popcorn going, yeah, get them. That's my team. Get them. It's all sports.
Yeah. That is so true, unfortunately. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but Mark, we'll let you go as you're enjoying your nice walk in empty Manhattan at the moment. What else?
Where are you guys? Are you guys at home?
Yeah, I'm at home. I'm in Astoria, Queens right now.
Oh, nice.
I am home as well in Hell's Kitchen, you know. So,
all right. We're a bunch of Manhattanites.
Don't be fooled by the background there, Mr. Norman.
I love the green screen. That's a good look.
Yeah, the Zoom background is like the only thing I have going for me right now. It's just my multiple Zoom backgrounds.
You know, it's funny when we, you know, throughout this podcast, it's hard not to talk about the quarantine and talk about COVID. You know, it's just hard to. And you know, I do wonder, like, when we do, it's hard to talk about too when we go back, right? It's like, I don't want to be like one of these people like, oh, when things get back to normal, because we don't know when that's going to happen. But
yeah,
do you think is there going to be a comic? I mean, how long do you think the COVID jokes are going to last for? Like, is that what every comic you think is going to be talking about when we go back? COVID-19, quarantine?
That's a good question. I think it's going to be a blip of, all right, elephant in the room, hit it. Hit the quarantine joke. Have your killer COVID joke. And then, boom, give me some material. Fuck it. We're done with this thing. I'll take one or two just to break the tension. And then back to the act. And I think that comics are going to have to bring it now, because people came out of their house. Going out of the house and sitting with a crowd now is going to be like a bit of a daring adventure, I think. So you got to bring the heat as a comic. No more looking at notes. No more, let me try some shit. This is my improv set where I fuck around. You got to kill it.
Yeah. Mark, I've been saying that a lot during the last couple episodes. When this is over and we do get live comedy again, it's really going to, you know, separate the best from the best. The cream is going to rise. I mean, it's going to be terrible at first because everyone's going to be so rusty, but like terrible in a good way. Like I once saw Chappelle bomb for an hour and a half at the comic strip, and it was the greatest thing I've ever seen in my life. So like, you know,
really?
it's like a good thing. But yeah, like it's going to be like, look, if you're still up there telling toilet paper jokes, like,
no more of this meme comedy. Should be writing. That should be writing, and I think this is going to wash out a lot of like the hobbyist guys who are like, I like comedy every now and then. I get up once a month. Nah, fuck it. You got to want to do comedy. You got to love comedy now because we got no room for you. Get out of here. Oh, you made a New Year's resolution to do comedy? Blow me. Hit the bricks, Dickless. We need some pros in here.
Well, I'll tell you what, though, Mark. I think what's going to happen is the audiences are going to be phenomenal audience members.
I completely agree.
In the same breath, you know, a real comic is now going to be out there because they're going to really want to do it. If you're an audience member and you're going to a club, you want to fucking be there. And you're going to want to laugh. You're going to be there for the right reasons. So, you know, I guess, you know, these are little positives we can kind of take from all of it.
Totally.
You know, one thing that is kind of sticking with me that I just want to bring up from what we brought up earlier before we go is you mentioned the whole theater thing. I'm curious, how come you haven't done a theater though before? Because if you're doing like a full weekend, let's see, at one of these clubs out on the road.
Yeah.
You know, you're doing full weekends. I see that you're selling out most of these weekends.
Yeah.
Why couldn't you then just consolidate all that and do one theater show at a 500 seater? Couldn't you just easily do that?
It's another great question. Mostly because we thought about it, but you do one theater show and you get paid a good bit, but the theater fees are so high that you're better off financially just doing four nights at the Improv.
Yeah.
If you do two theater shows, now you're making some real money, but I don't know if I have the juice to do two. I could probably do one. So that's why. So once I get that two juice, trust me, I'm in. But again, I'm a comedy fag, so I love just doing a bunch of sets. Yeah. You know, I want to get up there. I'm a whore for the stage. So I kind of like the whole two on a Saturday night, two on a Friday night, one on a Thursday. Yeah. So that I hope that answers it. But yeah.
No, it answers it for sure. Yeah. But great, Nick. I mean, you know, it's, you know, Mark is as much as he runs around, does a lot of spots, he is a hard man sometimes to get. So we have him here. Anything else you want to throw his way or?
No, I just want to, I want to promote the special coming out May 12th. That's Tuesday. This episode should air on Monday. So tomorrow, but May 12th, the YouTube special Out to Lunch featuring Mark Norman. It's a live show. It's filmed in front of a live audience, not a Zoom. It's not a Zoom show. So that's something to look forward to. Mark, you want to plug it anymore? Anything else we want to look forward to?
Yeah, I don't know when the next time you'll see me because a lot of dates have been canceled. And so you want to see some top-notch club comedy? This set has been worked out over years and years. I even hate to give up a lot of the material. So check out my special. It's for free. You can share the link. Watch half of it. Fuck it. Just enjoy some good yuck-em-ups. It's got a zillion jokes in it. So if you hate one, wait 4 seconds. You'll hear another one. And, it's real comedy. It's been tested. And I'm not famous, so I actually had to bring the heat. I can't just rely on my fame or my popularity. So I'm hungry. Help me. Send me a Venmo. Yeah. I'm lonely.
See what that Jerry Seinfeld was talking about. You know, see where his head's at.
There you go. Well so, said.
Thanks, Mark, for coming by. Stay safe. That's how we got to end every podcast now with the stay safe. You know, take care.
Isn't it funny how at the end of this we're gonna feel like we did something? Like, oh, look at us. We went through hell with all that Netflix and delivery.
We stayed home.
Yeah. Right. Well, I will say this though. I mean, I think this is the first Zoom I've done where someone's taking a lovely stroll through the city. So after this, I'm running outside, man, because you're making me want to be outside right now.
Oh, it's beautiful out. I highly recommend it. Throw the mask on, keep 6 feet. I'm all about flattening the anal. I get it. But I say, you know, live it up. We live in a great city and there's no one out here now. So this is the time to walk. I'm walking in the middle of the street in the village.
Oh, that's amazing.
Awesome. Yeah, have fun. Live it up. Well, praise Allah. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Mark.
Thanks, Mark. We appreciate you being on, bud.
Thank you. Good to talk to you. I miss everybody.
Oh, and Nick, yes. I'm going to do shameless promotion for the club. You know, you can see Mark when we reopen every Wednesday night. It's Good Egg Show at the New York Comedy Club. Boom.
Ooh, good thinking.
There it is.
There it is. Boom. Always working. That Savone is always working.
Yeah.
You see, and a lot of people keep telling me, like, don't you have less anxiety now? Don't you have some relaxation time? And I'm like, no, I got more anxiety because I'm just worried about the shit slipping away. Sure, I've got anxious every now and then on the road. You know, you freak out, you're busy, you get overwhelmed, but that's what life's all about, baby. Overwhelm yourself. People are too worried about being happy and relaxing. I mean, if you look back on a stressful time in your life, you never remember the stressful part. You just remember the shit you accomplished. So the stress and all that will melt away. It's all fleeting.
Hey, I'm with you, man. Look, I mean, you know, we're being tested right now. I think it's easy to be in control and be calm and to be all happy and go lucky when things are good. It's when the shit
is
bad, man. Right now is really where you're pushed to the metal. You know what I mean? So,
yes.
In a strange way, you got to take it as a challenge. You got to keep your eyes up. And
yes.
And that's what I love about our community, man. You know, it's funny. I've gotten hit up you know, very fortunately, I've had a lot of people reach out to me and, you know, how you doing? And I'm like, you know, I'm part of an industry where all we know is the fight and the struggle.
Right, you know? Right.
You know, I think people look at us and they're like, oh, you have a couple clubs, you're doing this. I'm like, every day is a fight, man. Don't think for 1 second, you know, we're not Viacom here. You know, we are in it with, you know, comedians struggle and fight. My staff struggles and fight. I mean, this is all we know. So if there's a community that is up for the challenge, it really is ours because.
Yes.
Like, again, talking to you here, it's so interesting because in our ecosystem, in our world, you are widely regarded as one of the top comics. Like I really am, Mark, surprised. And trust me, the last thing I want to do is flatter you too much.
But please, thank you.
I'm shocked to hear that you were having issues getting your special on a network. Like that is kind of dumbfounding to me because
it's kooky. It just shows the ignorance in the industry side.
Yeah.
Not to toot my own asshole.
No, so it's like, it really makes me scratch my head. So, you know, I think it just goes to show you, like, most people from the outside most people in our world probably think, oh, Mark Norman's fine. He's, you know, he's doing his thing. He's selling out clubs. He's got this connection with Schumer and Seinfeld, but people don't get it. It's like, no, man, you gotta, unless you are, again, Seinfeld, you are fighting and scrapping for everything. And even Seinfeld, I'm sure, you know, when you get to that level, you still have to scrap to maintain relevance.
Right.
You're telling me Jerry doesn't look around, or a guy like Sebastian doesn't look around, or whoever, Schumer looks around, and they're not a bit concerned when they see someone like you or someone like a Rosebud or whoever coming up
right
behind them.
Of course.
No matter where you are in life, man, you're either looking over your shoulder, you're looking at someone to take over or take out. It's all a fucking struggle. And I really think our industry and our community is as good suited for what's going on than anyone else. So, you know, we got to band together, stick together, help each other out, promote each other, you know, like what we're doing right now. So,
yeah, well said. I think you nailed it on the head there, Sloppy Jalopy. That was beautiful.
Mark got me going there a little, Nick. My bad.
Yeah, I know. I can tell. We're going to try to say goodbye for a third time here. So
sorry. Every negative's got a positive. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah.
No, I love. Hey, listen. The more that we talk, the better. I just, you know, Emilio sometimes gets all fired up and can't. Just,
but no, you're right. You're right.
You can't shut him up. He's the boss.
This is a horrible thing, but there are good sides to it. You know, like, hey, I've got a special coming out during a pandemic. People literally can't leave. I mean, it's perfect. So you got to use. Everything's got some kind of upside, so we're trying to use all that to our advantage, and that's the key. Just keep wiggling and twisting and see how you can benefit from a shitty thing.
That's right. Well, Mark, if the comedy career hits a halt, you know you have a future in positive speaking.
As life coaching.
I could quote you from earlier, you said to the public, overwhelm yourself.
Well, that can be a future self. Mark Norman as the life coach. Future self coach, Mark Norman.
I don't know. That's tough. Get HPV, drink a lot, and go into a field that is highly risky of making it.
Oh, in that case, we'll do a pickup artist future, Mark Norman.
And there we go. Now we're talking. Yes. You want to get laid even though you look like this?
All right, Mark. Thanks for calling in, I guess. Check out YouTube, May 12th, Out to Lunch, Mark Norman Live comedy special. It's going to be great.
Hey, thanks. Let's hope so. Let's hope people like it.
I'm sure they will. Thanks, Mark.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
You too. Thanks for listening to the New York Comedy Club podcast. Make sure you like, subscribe, share, and leave a comment. And for tickets to the club, check out newyorkcomedyclub.com.